Okay, so we're holding on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. We were discussing, we had in the Mishnah, we said a machlokas of Yehuda and the Chachamim. If you have fruit, that juice oozed out of the fruit on Shabbos, are you allowed to drink that juice? You're for sure not allowed to squeeze the fruits on Shabbos. That would be a malacha of, that would be a tolda of the malacha of dosh. It's called mefarik, which is removing something from its natural container. Like, for example, another example we're going to talk about later on would be milking an animal. So like this, squeezing them would definitely be usur, although we're going to discuss later on, we're going to see about details with that. So the question is, if the juice oozed out by itself on Shabbos, then we have the Tanakama had said you're still not allowed to drink the juice because we make a gzera, because then if you're allowed to drink it, you might come to actually squeeze it yourself. And Rabbi Yehuda allows it. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends whether you had set aside these fruit to eat or to drink. If you set them aside to eat, then Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to drink the juice that comes out of them on Shabbos, because then we're not worried that you're going to squeeze them because you set them aside to begin with in order to eat. Whereas if you set them aside for juice, then he would agree that not. So we started discussing in the Gemara a couple of different angles on what Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim actually hold. We said, so far we were saying that Rabbi Yehuda would agree with the Chachamim when it comes to grapes and olives, that you would be also to drink the juice that comes out of them, because most grapes and olives are meant to be squeezed, and therefore we have the concern that you're going to come and squeeze them on Shabbos. The machlokas would be then, we said about things like berries and pomegranates, where some people squeeze them, some not, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that if you set them aside, for food, then you would be allowed to drink the juice that comes out of them. And Rabbi Yehuda would say that not. The Chum would say it doesn't matter either way. Rabbi Yehuda would say it depends whether you set them aside for food or for drink. Okay. Now, in the Braisa that we quoted, in that connection, we said, we used the expression that if he set them aside, lamashkin, if he had those fruits set aside, that he's going to use them for juice, or lestam, he didn't set aside with any particular intention in mind, then we said that it would be also, then we said it would be also to drink them. So now we're going to focus on that part about stam and see, is it really correct to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that when it's stam, that when you didn't have a particular intention in mind, that it should be also to drink the juice, that we should assume that you set it aside for the purposes of food rather than purposes of, that we should assume that it's as if it was set aside for purposes of drinks, and therefore that it would be also to drink the juice that comes out of it on Shabbos. So now we're going to visit that point and see, does Rabbi Yehuda in fact hold that way when it comes to stam, that he assumes that the juice that comes out of them, the stam, is what you intended to, is in fact you intended for that juice to come out. So the scholar of Yehuda stam osur. So are you telling me that Yehuda holds when it's stam, when you didn't have any particular intention in mind, when you stored away this fruit, then he would say that the juice of it is considered that you had kavana for that juice to come out, and therefore that it should be, and therefore that it should be osur? We learn in the Mishnah, it's the last Mishnah in Masechta Machshirin. Now, the whole Masechta Machshirin deals with the question of when are liquids machshir food lekabel truma, and when are they not? One of the rules is that the liquid has to be lerotza, and it has to be that it got the object wet with your intention. You wanted it to get wet. So in particular, when it comes to the various shiva mashkin, then when you have the seven liquids that are matame, then it depends whether they were originally extracted l'rotzon or shaloi l'rotzon. So in the case of water, for example, you know, the water itself exists. You know, rain falls, or you have a pit full of water or whatever. So then the key thing is whether the water was taken out of there l'rotzon or not. With the other liquids, it's more a matter of when they were originally expressed from the fruit or the whatever that they were in, was it done l'rotzon? So the Mishnah starts off with there. Chalev ha'isha matame l'rotzen v'shalei l'rotzen. A woman's milk is matame, meaning it's machshir l'kabel tumah, and for that matter, it itself is also able to become tumah, whether it came out l'rotzen or shalei l'rotzen, because milk is one of the shiva mashkim. Chalev behema ain't matame el l'rotzen. But the milk of an animal is only matame if it came out l'rotzen. If not, then it's not considered a mashkim. Now that's according to the Chachamim, Amar Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva argues with that and says, no, Kavachoymahu. How could that be that you're saying that there's a difference between a woman's milk and an animal's milk? that, and by a woman's milk, it should be machshor the kavel tumah whether it came out l'rotzen or not. Shouldn't we make a kavel chomer? Uma chalev ha'isha she'enim yuchad elo tanim, madoch mother's milk, which is only primarily meant for children, for babies to drink, and yet, metame l'rotzen v'shaloy l'rotzen, and you chachamim are saying that it's metame l'rotzen and shaloy l'rotzen, even though it has less significance because it's only drunk by babies. Chalev ha'behema shem yuchad bein l'ktanim bein l'gerlim. So then animal milk, which is drunk by both adults and children, ein adin she'itame bein l'rotzen or bein shaloy l'rotzen. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that it's metame whether l'rotzen or whether shaloy l'rotzen? Why are you chachamim saying, why are you, I tried that, it's locked. Why are you chachamim saying that it's only metame if it came out l'rotzen? When you yourselves are saying that mother's milk is metame whether it came out l'rotzen or shaloi l'rotzen. Now, as we go through the discussion over here, we're gonna go into a bit of discussion and how this is relevant to grapes and olives, which was the subject of our sugya. We're gonna get back to later on, but there's gonna be a whole back and forth between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. But as we go through it, we're going to see that actually Rabbi Akiva himself is basically saying, according to you, Chachamim Svara, me, myself, he himself would hold that there's really no difference, that in both cases, it's going to be metame l'rotzen or shaloi l'rotzen. But he's saying actually in both cases there'll only be l'rotzen, rather he's saying. But he's arguing, you chachamim who want to make the distinction between l'rotzen and shaloi l'rotzen, why are you making it by an animal's milk only and not by human milk? So that's the kavachomer. Amruloi, so the Chacham answered him, no, im tomei chalev ha'isha shaloi l'rotzen, you know why mother's milk is metame when even it's shaloi l'rotzen, shedam magefosa tomei, because you find with a woman that blood that comes out of a wound of hers is also machshor l'kavel tumah. Now we have one of among the shiva mashkim are blood and milk. So the idea is when it comes to blood, now when it comes to animal blood, only blood from shchita of an animal is metame. Blood from a wound of an animal is not. Actually, you have a sugya about that in Cholin, a bit of a complex sugya over there that deals with that, where Rav Shimon says that maybe, according to Rashi over there, Rav Shimon would say that blood from a wound of an animal is also machshor l'kavel tumah. Tosfos says that not. But in any case, all the other chachamim definitely disagree and say that with an animal, only blood from shchita of the animal is machshor l'kavel tumah, as opposed to human blood is machshor l'kavel tumah, even if it comes from a wound. So the chachamim are arguing, given that we have the concept the Gemara mentions in some places, dam neka v'nasa chalav, that the blood of the woman's blood gets congealed or transformed or whatever you want to call it and becomes milk. So once her blood is metame, regardless for how it comes out of her body, whether from a wound, whether from dam nida, whether whatever. So therefore, it's logical that the milk should be metame as well. How are you comparing that to milk from an animal, shaloi l'rotzen, where if it comes out shaloi l'rotzen, where after all there's no reason to be machmer in it, shadam magefas hatar. After all, we find with an animal that blood that comes out of the wound of an animal is not makabel tuma. So therefore, it's logical that the milk, which is transformed blood, shouldn't be makabel tuma either. Actually, Tosfos then brings up the question. Then in that case, then why do we even need? Actually, Rashi first brings up the question. In that case, then why do we even need a pasuk to mention milk separately? That milk is machshor l'kavel tumah. Tosfos discusses because there's differences between why you're milking or you're milking, let's say, for example, you could be extracting blood from a person or an animal, let's say, for example, as we're going to discuss, makis, for example, is where you're letting blood for healing purposes, like we learned about earlier in the Masechta. Similarly, you could have also, giving milk for refuah. So you really do need a separate pasuk for milk anyway, but the point is, so the Chachamim are saying, So the Chacham was saying, Yehuda bar Akiva are trying to make a Kavah Chomer, saying that if mother's milk, which is only for babies, is machshel the Kavah Truma, whether it was Lerotzen or not, then surely animal milk should be machshel the Kavah Truma either way. But the difference is, on the other hand, you find with a woman, all of her blood is machshel the Kavah Truma, whereas with an animal, only blood of Shchita is machshel the Kavah Truma. Rabbeinu Shimshin, the Rash in his Pirush on the Mishnah, explains it a little bit differently. The vort is that since we find, not necessarily even the matter of Dam Nek or Vanasa Cholav, just the fact we have a Chumrah regarding a woman that all kinds of blood that come from her are Machshel Kabal Tuma, therefore it's more logical to apply a different Chumrah that also all milk that comes from her is Machshel Kabal Tuma, whether it was Lerotzen or not. Okay, so that was the
argument. Why do you say what applies to blood applies to milk?
So again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the reason is because dam neker v'nasa cholav, because the milk itself comes from blood that was transformed in the body into milk. You know, we talked about this. What exactly
no.
this means? We talked about this in Yidda. Okay, but we talked about it, among other things. It means that the proteins in the milk come from her blood. It means that the liquid in the milk comes from her blood plasma. However you want to explain it in modern terms, the point is that we have this concept of dam neker v'nasa cholav. The Gemara in Nida uses it to explain why it is that a woman who's lactating, why a woman who's nursing usually doesn't become a Nida. The point is, therefore, once we say that her blood is metame, regardless whether it comes from a wound or what have you, therefore we should say that the blood, that any of her milk is metame either. As opposed to, again, with an animal where we don't have that, only blood of shchita of an animal is machshel kabel tuma, blood from the wound of an animal is not. So therefore, there's more logical reason to distinguish between animal milk, whether it was lerotzen or not.
Milk doesn't come from blood.
Okay, did you hear anything I just said, Avraham Moshe? I just tried to explain what we mean.
Did you hear what I said? I'm just saying milk doesn't come from blood.
Okay.
In
Gemara terminology, milk comes from blood. However you want to explain that, according to modern science or modern medicine or whatever, it doesn't change the fact that we have a concept in the Gemara called Dam Neka Vanasa Cholav. So we have, given that the Chachamim told us that, it is true in some sense or other. In what sense? How can we understand it? In terms of modern medicine, that's a different question. But we're saying dam neka v'nasa cholav, and we're saying, therefore, that has an implication in halach. That once we say that her blood is machshel kabel tuma, regardless where it comes from, whether it comes from a wound or from nidah or what have you, the same way her milk should be machshel kabel tuma, whether it came l'rotzen or not. That's the argument of the Chachamim. Amalahan, but Rabbi Akiva answers to the Chachamim, no. I still have a reason to argue that milk should be more stringent than blood, because when it comes to an animal, if you milk the animal, not because you need the milk, but for healing purposes, let's say the animal has too much milk and you're milking it in order to ease up the pressure, then that milk is machshel the kabel tuma because it was lerotzen, but v'hamak is lerufor tahor. But on the other hand, if you did the same thing as far as blood, if you let blood for the animal in order to relieve blood pressure or whatever, then that blood would not be machshel the kabel tuma. So you see that even within lerotzen itself, there is that distinction between milk and blood, where blood is more lenient than milk. And therefore, I have more reason to say that milk should be machshel the kabel tuma, regardless whether it was lerotzen or shaloi lerotzen, and not like you Chachamim are saying that there's a difference that where mother's milk is going to be lerotzen and shaloi lerotzen, and animal's milk is going to be only lerotzen. I would hold, says Rabbi Akiva, that we still see there's a chumrah in blood over in milk over blood, and therefore there's a reason to say there's another chumrah. Just like there's a chumrah that if you milk the animal, then the milk is machshel the kabel tuma, no matter what purpose you milked it for. Whereas when it comes to blood, there's a difference between blood that you extracted, for example, because you were letting blood for the animal, versus dam shchita. The same way, I can have a distinction and say. The same way I can have a distinction and say that milk is also that milk is also machshel the kabel tuma either way. Okay. Omruloi, so now comes the part which is relevant to our Sugya. The Chum answered him, Sale Zeisin Va'anovim Yechichu, will disprove your argument by looking at the case of baskets of grapes and olives, Shamashkin Ayotim Mehem Lerotzim Tmeim, Shalei Lerotzim Tmeim, where if juice comes out of the fruit in those baskets, Then it depends whether it was Lerotzen and Shaloi Lerotzen. So therefore, so you see that there's still a difference between Lerotzen and Shaloi Lerotzen. So therefore, we can make that same distinction by milk. You, Rabbi Akiva, want to argue that when it comes to milk, there should be no distinction. But we're arguing that after all, you have the case of baskets and grapes and olives, where only if you wanted the liquid to come out, only then would it be Mashal V'Kabal Tumah. If not, then not. Actually, you have, now in the first perek, we talked about a machlokas b'shama b'silol, whether when you harvest grapes, whether the grapes are mukhshal kabal tuma, and one point we mentioned over there is that the one reason why b'shamai would say that they are mukhshal kabal tuma is a gzera, because even though usually the liquid that comes out of them is not l'rotzen, because you don't care about it, because it's just going to waste, but you might have where you put the, you might have where you harvested the grapes into baskets lined with tar, and then the tar is going to prevent anything from leaking out, and then we're saying then you do want that mashke, and therefore Beshamai says that in general the liquid that comes out of them is mashal kabal tuma. But over here we'd be talking about baskets, where baskets have holes in them, and the liquid is just going to flow away. So therefore it's not lerotzen. And we see that it's not machshav kabal tuma. So you see that there's a difference between lerotzen and shalei lerotzen. Now, that's not the end of the discussion. So here's the Gemara stops quoting the Mishnah at this point, because now we have the point that's relevant to our sugya. The actual Mishnah there in Machshirin continues with more of a back and forth between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Akiva answers back to them and says there's a difference between grapes and olives versus the case of milk that we're dealing with over here, and then they answer him with another case involving rainwater. So there's still a lot of back and forth, but the Gemara is not quoting that over here because it's not relevant. We have the part about Zeisim Va'anovim, which is what we need over here. So, my lav. Now, when we say over there that the Chachamim are saying that baskets of grapes and olives, it depends whether the liquid came out l'rotzen or shaloi l'rotzen. My lav l'rotzen. On the face of it, l'rotzen means the nichale, that he actually wants the liquid to come out. He wants the for example, again, that case in the first parak, let's say, where he harvested them in, and we picked them and put them into baskets lined with tar. So he wants the liquid to stay around, and he wants it to come out in the first place. And shaloi l'rotzen b'stama, we would assume that shaloi l'rotzen doesn't mean specifically that he didn't want it to come out. It would include l'rotzen. It would include stama. It would include where he didn't have in mind one way or the other. He didn't particularly care one way or the other whether liquid is going to come out. But it came out, and we're calling that l'rotzen, and so shaloi l'rotzen b'stama, and therefore we can figure like this: Uma zeisim ba'anovim b'mnei schitininu. Madoch then, when it comes to grapes and when it comes to olives and grapes, b'mnei schitininu, where those are normally squeezed, shaloi l'rotzen v'loi klum, and we're still saying that if it was shaloi l'rotzen, then we're still saying that if it's shaloi l'rotzen, it doesn't count. And it doesn't count as a mashke, because again the Chachamim are saying that only l'rotzen it would be mashal kabal tuma. Shaloi l'rotzen it wouldn't. We would assume that shaloi l'rotzen also includes stoma, because after all there's no rotzen over there. He didn't particularly want the liquid to come out. We would assume that you need specific rotzen in order to make it considered a mashke and be mashal kabal tuma. Here you don't have that. Stam would be, we would assume that not, right? Right, because there's no rotzen. So if even olives and grapes, d'bnei schitininu, where those are normally squeezed, shaloi l'rotzen v'loi klum, and still we're saying that as long as there wasn't specific rotzen, then it doesn't count as a mashke, tusim v'rimonim. So now let's go back to before in the Gemara, we discussed the question, we were saying that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing about the case involving berries and pomegranates, and we were saying that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argue where if he had the berries, he had gathered them in order to eat them, then Rabbi Yehuda would say the juice that comes out of them on Shabbos is mutter to drink. But stoma, it would be also, why should those be more stringent than zeisim ba'anovim? Those are not normally squeezed for their juice. Loi kolshekin, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that, unless he specifically had in mind for shouldn't it be the case that, shouldn't it be the case that even if it was the stomach, we would consider it's not a mashke, the same way as we're saying over here with the grapes and olives, and the Chachamim are saying, at least we're assuming that this is what they're saying, as long as you didn't have a specific rotzon for the juice to come out, and it's not considered mashke, and it's not mashal kabal tuma, so all the more so with tussim v'rimonim, why would we say with berries and with pomegranates, that if it was summer, then Rabbi Horda would say that the juice that comes out of it on Shabbos is also because you would have in mind to squeeze them. Why? Those are not better than grapes and olives. As far as squeezing, those are less likely to be squeezed than grapes and olives. It's not as usual to squeeze them. Now, granted, this Mishnah doesn't clearly say whether it's the coins of Yehuda or the Chachamim. But after all, the Chachamim are more machmer than Rabbi Yehuda even. They're saying that with berries and pomegranates is always considered a mashke, even if you've had it specifically for Achila. So if we said the Mishnah went according to the Chachamim, then we could certainly learn a Kavachimer that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's not considered mashke. And if the Mishnah is a coincidence of Yehuda, then we see that even by grapes and olives, he doesn't consider it a mashke. So either way, it would be a contradiction to what we said before, that Rabbi Yehuda would say that with berries and pomegranates, that if it was stam, then it would be also. Because over here, it seems like you need actual rotzon, an actual specific rotzon, for it to be considered a mashke. The answer is loy. No, because you're assuming that l'rotzon in that connection means what you davka had in mind. No, l'rotzon b'stama, the word l'rotzon would include the case of stam. So it would include where he didn't have in mind one way or the other. We would also consider in that case that the juice that comes out of them is machshor l'kabal tuma. Shaloi l'rotzon would be degali adaite sh'da'ama loy nichali. What would be shaloi l'rotzon when he specifically says, I don't want this juice to be coming out? So therefore, that answers the question then. So since b'stama, we consider it to be juice, in the case of Zeisim v'Anavim, good, so Rabbi Yehuda also agrees with that. Rabbi Yehuda also says that even when it comes to berries and pomegranates, which are not squeezed as often as olives and grapes, nevertheless, though, if it was stam, then it would still be also because we're concerned he might squeeze it. So in other words, Rashi explains there's a gilui das called hichnisoi la'oichlin, where he set it aside intending to eat it, and then there's a gilui das beyond that even, where he says, not only I gathered them for food, but I don't want any juice to be coming out of them. Only then would we say that's not considered a juice that's machshel l'kabal tumah. So applying that to our case of the berries and the pomegranates, only if he specifically said to begin with, I don't want any juice to be coming out of them, only then would we say, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the juice that comes out would be mutter on Shabbos because he didn't want them, he didn't want to squeeze them, and if we have no concern that he might come to do that on Shabbos. Whereas if it was Bastam, if he just set them aside for food, but he didn't specifically say, I don't want juice to be coming out, or he just set them aside without having in mind specifically whether it's for food or for drink, then we would say that it's also to drink the juice on Shabbos, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And according to the Chachamim, it wouldn't even matter. According to the Chachamim, either way, whether he set it aside for food or not, it would be also. Yeah. Okay. The Iboyesema, or another answer, you could say salad, shiny salad, zaysim v'anovim, different when it comes to baskets of grapes and olives, Kiven to Ibud Kaimi, because the juice anyway is going to flow away and get lost. So he's right away mafkir the juice. So then Mistama, in that case, he doesn't want it to come out. In other words, in the first answer, we were saying it could be he wants the juice and it could be not. It depends what his stated intention was. In the second one, we're saying that Davka, because we're talking about Mehir baskets, which baskets have holes, then therefore automatically we can still assume, in other words, that in that case, Stam would include that he didn't have in mind one way or the other, and still it's not machshel l'kabal tumah because since normally it goes to waste, normally we can assume that he's not going to want it, as opposed to by Hilchos Shabbos, you don't have that consideration where it's going to go to waste, and therefore it might be also because he might come to squeezing. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, okay, Ashkechan Rabbi Yehuda de Moit. Now, we said two things before, earlier in the Sugya. Number one, we said is that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim when it comes to grapes and olives. And now we see from this Mishnah that that's the case, because we're calling grapes and olives, we're saying the liquid that comes out of them is mashal the kabal tumah and is considered a mashke, whether he specifically said that he wanted it, or even he didn't say one way, or according to the first answer, even if he didn't say anything. And according to the second answer, Davka in that case, because the baskets have holes. rules. We also said, though, that on the other hand, the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to other kinds of fruits, then meaning outside of berries and pomegranates. So where do we see that from? Where do we have a proof for that? So Ashkechan Rabbi Yehuda demoded Rabbanan Bezeisim La'anavim. We see that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim when it comes to olives and grapes. Rabbanan demoded Rabbi Yehuda B'shar Peres Menolon. Where do we see the flip side that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to other fruits, that even if juice oozed out of them on Shabbos, you would be allowed to drink that juice? So like this, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Seichtin b'pegoyin, on Shabbos you're allowed to squeeze pegoyin, which Rashi translates as prunes or plums. So you're allowed to squeeze those. Over perishin, also perishin, which are quinces, which are a little fruit that resembles an apple. Over uzradin, and a different kind of thorn apples or something. Again, a little fruit that resembles a little tiny apple, whatever. So now those kinds of fruits, are not normally squeezed at all. So the Chachamim would say that you're allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos to get the juice out. Avaloi berimonim, but not pomegranates, because pomegranates sometimes people do regularly squeeze. And in fact, the Shabbos Menashe by Menachem who you served in berimonim. In fact, the members of the household of Menashe by Menachem used to squeeze pomegranates. So there's on weekdays, that is. So therefore we see that's a normal thing to squeeze them, and therefore on Shabbos it would be awesome. So now, so that braisa, so if we assume that braisa is according to the Chachamim, then we see you're allowed to squeeze fruits that are not normally squeezed, like plums, like prunes, whatever. So we see the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, and we might did Rabbanan he, okay, but who says that braisa goes according to the Rabbanan? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda, maybe that braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda, so that wouldn't prove anything about what the Chachamim hold. The answer is, okay, the Tehevi Nami Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, even if you suppose that it is a coin to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Eimur Deshamat the Rabbi Yehuda, Yotzu Me'atzman. You know when you find that Rabbi Yehuda says that, what is Rabbi Yehuda saying that you're allowed to is Yotzu Me'atzman. Yotzu Me'atzman, only if the juice came out on its own. Then he says that with certain kinds of fruits you'd be allowed to drink the juice. Where do you ever find that Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to squeeze fruits on Shabbos? So what must we say? Since these fruits are not normally squeezed at all, the plums and the rest of them, then Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you're allowed to squeeze them even l'chatchila. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda would say so far as follows. Grapes and olives, not only you're also to squeeze them, but if you do, the juice that comes out, if you don't squeeze them and the juice comes out by itself on Shabbos, it would be also. Regardless whether you gathered them for food or for drink or for liquid. When it comes to berries and pomegranates, we would say it depends whether you meant them to eat or to squeeze. When it comes to these fruits that we mentioned over here, the plums and the rest of them, then Rabbi Yehuda would say you're allowed to, even if we said this braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda would be saying you're allowed to squeeze them even l'chatchila, because they're not normally squeezed at all. And the point is, since they're not normally squeezed at all, you can't say, what's the whole problem with squeezing fruit on Shabbos, the malacha of dosh, is that before you had a solid and now you're getting a liquid out of it. You had oichel and now you have mashke. But these kinds of fruits, which are not normally squeezed, in effect, all you have at the end is also oichel. Because not a kind of juice that people normally squeeze out in order to drink. So therefore, you started with oichel, so you started with oichel and you still have oichel, and therefore it's not an issue. It's not so much less juice comes out. I mean, practically speaking, probably, yeah, less juice comes out of those than the other ones. But that's not the point. It's not so much that less juice comes out. It's the fact that people don't usually squeeze them at all, as opposed to pomegranates and berries, where some people do squeeze. Okay. So even if the braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda, then obviously it can't. Rabbi Yehuda so far had only been talking about whether you're allowed to drink the juice that comes out by itself. He never talked about squeezing them. Even if this braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda, evidently the braisa is allowing us to squeeze certain fruits, even l'chatchila. Well then, so then, once we have that, afilu teima rabbanon, then we can say, even if the braisa is according to the rabbanon, kiven de lav neskitin in afilu hatchila, then again, they're not necessarily arguing with Rabbi Yehuda on that particular point about fruits that are not normally squeezed at all. So we can assume the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Yehuda on that point. So regardless, whether the braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim, shmaminu rabbanon he, so we can say, kiven de lav neskitin in afilu hatchila, then it would be allowed even hatchila, shmaminu rabbanon he, so that proves that it goes was according to the Rabbanon, Shmamina. So that's it. So we've proved then that the Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to other fruits, like prunes and the rest of them, which are not normally squeezed, that you are not only even allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos Lachatchila, and therefore that also the juice that come if juice comes out of them on Shabbos, that you would be allowed to drink that juice. Yeah, well, that's what we're saying so far. So that would be our proof. When we said earlier in the sugya that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim when it comes to grapes and olives, and we proved that from the Mishnah and Machshirin, now when we said, on the other hand, the Chachamim agrees with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to other fruits, our braisa proves that point. And then you have, in between that, you have the in-between case of berries and pomegranates, where we said the Chum say the juice that comes from them is always also, and Rabbi Yehuda would say it depends what you had them stored away for in the first place, for food versus for squeezing. Because some people also squeeze berries and pomegranates for mashkim, and therefore we're concerned that you may come to do it on Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, fine, that's if you set them aside for liquid, or stam, if you didn't say one way or the other, then we would say that, yeah, you might come to squeeze them on Shabbos. But if you set them aside for Euchlin, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that we're not worried. No, it's not a question of if you didn't have it in mind. Rabbi Yehuda takes the view that if before Shabbos you intended to eat these berries or pomegranates rather than to squeeze them, we're not concerned that if some juice comes out of them on Shabbos, we're not concerned that you're going to go squeeze them to get more juice because you didn't want, because you to begin with wanted to eat them. You didn't want juice to come out of them. Yeah. Okay. So now let's analyze what we said in the Braisa. We said, we continued in the Braisa, Shalbeis Menashe b'Menachem ho'yusechtin b'Rimonim. We said in the household of Menashe by Menachem, they used to squeeze pomegranates on weekdays. So, Amar Rav Nachman, halacha kishalbeis Menashe by Menachem. So, Rav Nachman says the halacha is like them. Amar Rava Rav Nachman. So, Rava says to Rav Nachman, what do you mean? What do you mean the halacha is like him? Menashe ben Menachem Tanahu? What is this? Menashe ben Menachem is a Tana? He's not arguing on the halacha and saying you're allowed or not allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos, that you can talk about the halacha being like him. We're mentioning the Tana is just Tana of the Braisa. Just bringing them as a proof that there are people who squeeze pomegranates on weekdays. How can you say on such a thing that halacha is like it? The chitema, so you might say, okay, Rav Nachman, maybe what you mean to say is halacha ki hai tana de savala kishal Menashe ben Menachem. You're trying to say maybe that the halacha is like the tana who brought Menashe ben Menachem as a proof. So in other words, right, you're not saying the halacha is like Menashe ben Menachem himself. He's not a tana to give his opinion in halacha, but you mean the tana who brought him as a proof. The halacha would be like him. What does that mean? What do you mean? Because the Tana holds like Menashe by Menachem and mentioned him as an example of someone squeezing pomegranates, therefore you'd say the halacha is like that Tana, and therefore that it would be, and therefore that it's also to squeeze pomegranates, and therefore that according to the Chachamim, if juice comes out of them on Shabbos, it would be also to drink. What do you mean? Menashe ben Menachem have a ruba d'alma. What do you mean? Is Menashe ben Menachem most of the world? We'd say butla daita eltsakodem. Very nice. In his household, they squeeze pomegranates, and in most other households, they don't. So why should we follow him dafka and say because he squeezed pomegranates, therefore that creates a precedent for the whole world that pomegranates are something normally squeezed? His daya should be butla. And the answer is, the Gemara says, ain. So Rav Nachman answers, yes, as a matter of fact, you could say that you go according to one person and decide that the halacha is that something is normally done based on them. Tetnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Kilayim, Hamakayim Kotzin Vakerem. Now, we know you're not allowed to have Kilaya Kerem, you're not allowed to have vegetables or grain planted in a vineyard, and if you do, then the grapes and the grapevines and the other produce become also Bahanah. That's Kilaya Kerem. Both of them become also banah, right? But if you have thorns growing in the vineyard and then you let them stay there, Rebbe Eliezer, thorn bushes or whatever, Rebbe Eliezer oy makiddish v'cham eni makadish. So Rebbe Eliezer, or Rebbe Lazar actually, says that it's what is called kiddush, meaning that he made everything osabana. The expression kiddush, the word kadosh means set aside. Kadosh means muvdal. So usually we mean it in a positive sense. Like, for example, we say about Hashem, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. The Jewish people are kadosh, etc. Sometimes you also have the word kadosh used in a negative sense, something that's set aside for a negative thing. We have, for example, a kadosh and a kadesha that are set aside for znus. And then we have kadosh over here. The expression in the pasuk is pentikdash hamaleya. Passing in Parashat Kiseidze, that says that the produce is going to become kodesh, meaning it's going to become off-limits. It's going to be osabana. So if you have thorns in the vineyard, so Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Lazar says kiddush, that he made it kodesh, in other words, it's osabana. Chamam eni mekadesh ela gavash kamoisim mekaimin, shekamoyu mekaimin. The Chamam say, no, it's only mekadesh, only if it's something that's normally kept in a vineyard, and people don't normally grow thorn. People don't normally grow thorn bushes. It's just a weed that grows over there. So therefore, you can't say that it should be kalayakadim. But Amr of Chanina, my time of Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Chanina says, taka, why does Rabbi Eliezer hold that thorns in a vineyard should be kalayakarem? Because in Arabia, they have lots of camels, and they keep whole fields of thorns to feed their camels. Camels eat thorns, yeah. We actually said the other day that even donkeys sometimes eat thorns, but camels, if camels are tougher creatures, they eat them on a more regular basis. So Jews who live in Arabia, or Goyim for that matter, who live in Arabia, keep whole fields of thorns for their camels. So we see that thorns are considered an important crop in those places. And once we say, so now Arabia is not the whole world, it's only one country, and we still say that Rabbi Eliezer is still using that as a precedent for the whole world. So by the same logic, we can say that if in Menashe, by Menachem's house, they squeeze pomegranates, then that can become a precedent for the whole world. One says, what do you mean? Media area? What kind of a comparison is that? The Arvia Astra, Arabia is at least a whole country. It's a whole significant area. So fine, it's not just one individual who grows thorns over there. You have many people who live over there grow thorns. So there you're ready. You can say that that's a precedent for other places in the world. Here you're talking about one person, this Menashe Bar Menachem, who squeezes pomegranates. How can what he's doing make it for the whole world? His daya should be bottled to everybody else's. I mean, Tosfos points out, the Gemara could have answered also, that anyway, all of that is only according to Rabbi Eliezer. But what about the Chachamim? The fact is, we see even the Chachamim disagree and say that even if all the people in Arabia grow thorns, that's not reason enough to say that those should be considered kalayakarim for the whole rest of the world. Maybe they would be in Arabia, but not everywhere else. So according to the Chachamim, for sure not. But we're saying even according to Rabbi Eliezer, he's only saying when a whole country does it, not when just one individual person does it. So we're trying to deal with the question. So why would it be, again, earlier in the sugya we've been mentioning throughout that when it comes to pomegranates and berries, so the Chachamim would say those are like grapes and olives, and the juice that comes out of them is also on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yehuda says if you meant them for mashkim, then yes, and otherwise or stam, then yes, but if you meant them for oichol, then not. So taka, why are pomegranates considered significant in that way, if we're saying that only the people of Menashe Bar Menachem's household regularly squeeze pomegranates? No, the reason is Kibir of Chista. The reason is based on what Rav Chista said. Gomer of Chista. Trudin shesachdan. If a person squeezed trudin, which are spinach or beets or some related vegetable like that. So a person, now that's not the kind of thing that a person normally squeezes in order, you don't drink spinach juice or beet juice or whatever. Maybe nowadays they do, I guess, I don't know, but for, you know, health nuts or whatever, but in general, you don't. But the nosnan b'mikveh, if you then took that juice and put it into a mikveh, poslanus ha-mikveh b'shinei mara, the din is it would make the mikveh posel if it changes the color of the water. Now we're going to discuss soon, a Mishnah from Masechta Mikvos that discusses that kind of thing, one of the prakim that a Baal Yotzei learns. You have two different concepts. You have three logim of mayim shuvim pasul mikveh, but separately than that, you have a din of anything that falls into the mikveh and causes the color to change makes the mikveh pasul until the discoloration goes away. Right? So, post on the mikveh, it shouldn't matter. the whole lavene sitting in it. Now, after all, spinach is not usually something that's squeezed for its juice, and we still say that the juice of it is considered significant. Elamai islachamemar, so taka, why would it be passeling a mikveh? It must be kibin da'achshavinu, since he considered it important, because he personally went and squeezed that spinach in order to get the juice out of. So therefore, for him, it's considered a mashka. Habalahu mashka. So it becomes a mashka, not for the purposes of being mashal the kabal truma. For example, obviously there it's only the shiva mashkim, but in terms of that it can pass a mikveh, yes, it could. So hochinami, the same thing over here. Kim and Dachshavinu, if he personally is squeezing pomegranate, fine. We would say the fact that Beis Menashia does it doesn't make that a precedent for everybody else. But this particular person decided to do that. He decided to squeeze these pomegranates. Therefore, he made it choshuv. It's a concept we talked about earlier in the Masechta called achshavei, that even something that's not considered significant for most people, but if an individual person himself does it, then it's considered choshuv for him. So the same thing, habalahu mashka, then it becomes a mashka, and therefore for him, therefore, that's what we're saying. So therefore, for him, it would be awesome. So now the question is, in that case, Rashi says, what about the plums and quinces and whatever from the top of the armud? After all, the person is squeezing them also. The difference is, Rashi says, we would understand at this point in the Gemara, we would understand that those bechlau you don't squeeze for their juice. You squeeze those in order to make them sweeter. Because like what you have is, and you have the juice in them is like fairly bland. So you squeeze out the juice, and then you have like a more concentrated sweetness of the fruit or whatever. So there's, as opposed to over here, when we're talking about squeezing it for the sake of the juice. So we would say that once he himself is squeezing these pomegranates, then it would be like the person who's squeezing the spinach, and therefore it would be considered a mashka, and therefore it would be also for him to squeeze it on Shabbos. And both the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda agree with that. Rabbi Yehuda just says that if to begin with he gathered them together for food and the juice just oozes out by themselves, then we're not worried that he's going to come to squeeze them. Whereas the Chachamim say we don't make that distinction. Rapapa says no, that has nothing to do. The fact that when a person squeezes out juice from spinach, that passes a mikveh, that has nothing to do with the question of whether it's considered a mashke for him or not. It's just period that mishum dahavi davar shein osin mena mikveh lahatchila. It's just because the fact is spinach juice is not something that you can use to make a mikveh to begin with, like the way you could with water or snow or what have you. V'chol davar shein osin mena mikveh lahatchila posel as a mikveh b'shuni mara. The basic rule is that anything that you can't make a mikveh from to begin with, if it falls into the mikveh and discolors it, makes it possible. So nothing to do with the question of achshavei, of achshavei that he made it important by squeezing it. Just the fact that it's something that objectively you can't make a mikveh out of is reason enough to pass it. So therefore, in other words, so therefore, no raya necessarily from that to the case of the pomegranates. So now we're gonna digress a second and talk more about this concept of things that fall into a mikveh and pasul it. Now, before we begin this discussion, we have to understand. So the Mishnah in Mikvahs there that we're gonna quote mentions something called moichel, which is a juice that comes out of olives before the, it's a juice that comes out of olives. Now you have the actual oil that comes out of the olives, but then you have this moichel, which is a juice that comes out of the olives. You have three stages of it. You have first when you put the olives together in a pile, and then some of this juice oozes out at that point. Then you have that juice is very clear. That juice is nothing like oil. It's very clear. It's just like a sap that comes out of the olives. Then you have later on, you leave the olives there in the pile for a few days and they're pressing against each other. Now you have more. Now what comes out of them is closer to actual oil. It's still not actual oil yet, but at least it's got a little more of the consistency of oil. Then you have the third stage is after you press the olives, then you have the leftover pieces of broken up and crushed olive and whatever, more juice oozes out of that. And that's also moichel, but that one, as the Gemara is going to point out, has some oil mixed in with it. So now we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the different kinds of moichel. So the last one would have oil mixed into it. The second one is closer to the consistency of oil, but it's still not oil yet. And the first one is not like the consistency of oil at all. It's just like a clear liquid. So tznan hosam. We learn in a Mishnah in the Kvos, and then in the Perek that we do for a Yortzeit in the 11 months and whatever. If wine or vinegar or moichel falls into a mikvah, actually the Mishnah that we have in the back of the Siddur doesn't have the word choymetz, but whatever. The point is, if some kind of liquid like that falls into a mikvah, the shinamarav, and it changes the color of the mikvah, possible. So the mikvah is possible. Man tana de moichel mashkehu. So which tana is it that says that moichel is considered a liquid? Because again, we're going back to, now we had Rav Papa interjecting that it shouldn't matter whether it's considered a liquid. Just the fact that you can't make a mikveh out of it is reason enough to pass. But now at this point, the Gemara is ignoring that and going back to Rav Chista's svara, which is that only if it's a mashke does it pass the mikveh. So therefore, so we have to figure out who says that moichel is a mashke. Amar Abaye Rav Yaakov. Abaye says specifically that would be according to Rav Yaakov. The Tanya, Rav Yaakov, I'm a moichel hareu kamashke. Rav Yaakov says just that. Moichel is considered like mashke. Is considered a liquid. So why do the Chachamim say that the moichel that comes out at stage one, before, when you just put the olives in the pile before they even start pressing hard against each other, why is it tahor? Lefisha tahor in the sense that it's not mashal the kabel truma. It's not mashal the kabel truma, and therefore that's not considered a mashka for any purpose, including passeling a mikvah. The reason would be lefishenei roitzah b'kiyumah, because he doesn't want it, because he doesn't get any good out of it. It's a clear liquid anyway. It doesn't do any good, that it doesn't give him any benefit that he should want it. Reb Shimon Omer, on the other hand, Reb Shimon says moichel eino kamashka. Reb Shimon says moichel is not considered like a mashka. Umatam omer moichel ayotzel meikol beis habad pomei. So why do the Chachamim say that moichel that comes out after the olives have been pressed equal is the equal is the surrounding thing that you put the olives in when you're pressing them. You don't just want to put the olives loose over there, because when you press down, not so much dirt, but the point is, they'll go flying out in every direction. So what you do is you have a thing made out of bamboo or pieces of lulav leaves or whatever woven together to make like a circle that goes around them like a belt to hold them in place. And then you put the pile. So why do we say that the moichel that comes out of that is machshel the kabel tuma? Well, fishy yefshel by the light tzochei shemen, because inevitably there's mixed in with it little bits of oil, because already the olives have been pressed. At this point, you have moichel coming out of them, but mixed in with that moichel is actual oil, and therefore the person wants that mashke, because conceivably he can collect it and skim off the oil, which will float to the top, and then he has something useful. This is stage three. So that's the Gemara points out, my benayu. So what's the actual machlokas? If Rabbi Yaakov is saying that, moichel is not machshel the kabel truma, and Rabbi Shimon is saying it is machshel the kabel truma, what's the underlying machlokas? The answer is ikar benayu de osi also itzter. The difference is about stage two. The moichel that comes out after the olives were lying there in the pile for a couple of days and pressing against each other, then the moichel that comes out, we said there's no oil in it yet, but it's closer to the consistency of oil. It's closer to the thickness of oil, even though it itself is not oil. So that would be the machlokas. Therefore, so Rabbi Yaakov would be saying that you are roitza b'kiyumah, because it's not oil per se, but it's close enough to oil that you can use it to a certain extent for the same purposes that you would use oil for. As opposed to Rabbi Shimon says, no, you have to focus whether it actually has tzachzuchei shemen. Does it have bits of oil in it? And it doesn't yet. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon would say that stage two is not machshel the kabel truma, and Rabbi Yaakov would say it is. The point is, though, we see that both of them agree that Rabbi Yaakov says that even stage two is already considered moichel, is already considered machshel the kabel truma. So now Tosfos points out, when Abaye is saying the Mishnah in Mikvois is going only according to Rabbi Yaakov, why did he have to do that? He could have said we're talking about stage three moichel, and then Rabbi Shimon would agree also. The reason is, Tosfos says, because once you call that, you can't really call it moichel. Once it has oil in it already, once it has bits of oil mixed in already, then it's more like oil. You can't really call it moichel. Well, moichel suggests more stage one or stage two. And Rabbi Yaakov is saying that stage one is not makabel tumah, is not machshel the kabel tumah, but stage two already is. So we're talking about stage two specifically. Okay. So following Rav Chista's svara before, that for something to pass on a mikveh, it has to be a mashke. Okay, so Rav Yaakov holds that moichel is a mashke. Rava Amar Rava says you don't need that. Mishum to have a dava shein osin hemenu mikveh, because again, like a papa svara, you don't even need it to be a mashke. Just the fact that you can't make a mikveh out of moichel of any of the three stages is already enough. Posel as a mikveh, but shinui mara. So therefore, it has the rule that it's posel the mikveh with shinui mara, even whether we consider it a mashke or not. So even when we're talking stage one moichel, which neither Rabbi Yaakov nor Rabbi Shimon holds, it's considered a mashke. But the very fact that you can't use it to make a mikveh out of would be reason enough to say that it is. Would be reason enough to say that passels a mikveh, which is like Repulpa's svara before about the spinach juice. Let's continue a little further. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So far, the maskana we have so far is like this. We're saying so far that when it comes to grapes and olives, you're not allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. When it comes to berries and pomegranates, you may or may not be allowed to. You were saying that if you yourself are squeezing them, then we're saying that you made them choshu, you made it considered a mashka. And we're saying when it comes to plums and other such fruits, then since those are not normally squeezed at all, and the only reason you'd be squeezing them is not even so much for the juice, but to sweeten them, then you would be allowed to squeeze them. That's all according to Rashi. You have other Rishonim who learn the Gemara over here somewhat differently, and they say that actually even in the case of berries and pomegranates, you would be allowed to squeeze them if you're doing it in order to sweeten them. You just wouldn't be allowed to if you're doing it for the sake of the juice. And in the case of the plums and whatnot, they would say you're allowed to squeeze them b'chlal. Whether you mean the juice or not, because since those fruits are nobody normally squeezes them for juice at all, then we would say that the bottle dieta. There is discussion in Shulchan Aruch about different other kinds of fruits. For example, about lemons. Are you allowed to squeeze lemons? Are you allowed to squeeze lemons on Shabbos? Now, in those days, they didn't necessarily squeeze lemons in order to drink the juice. They squeezed it, as we're going to discuss now in the Gemara, in order to flavor food or something. So then so the Mechaber says you're allowed to squeeze lemons on Shabbos. On the other hand, because lemons would be like the plums or whatever, where you don't normally squeeze them for the juice. Although nowadays that's much less so. Nowadays it's very common that you squeeze lemons for the juice, not just for tea, but yeah, even just to drink as lemonade, to drink to make lemonade or whatever. So therefore, many poskim achronim say that in fact you can't squeeze lemons or other citrus fruits like that on Shabbos. In fact, I even saw something from Rabbi Yosef Shalom or Yashiv who wants to say you shouldn't even cut them on a plate. You shouldn't even cut lemons or oranges or whatever on a plate on Shabbos because inevitably juice is going to come out. It's psik resha, and since you have it in a plate, the juice is going to stay there, and therefore you're to a certain extent you're doing it for the sake of the juice. So you'd have to do it on the table or on a cutting board or something where the juice is just going to go to waste. Yeah. So Gemara says, food we're going to talk about now. Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Seichet Adam Eshkol Shalanovim L'Seichet Kedera, a person is allowed on Shabbos to squeeze fruit, to squeeze even a cluster of grapes, even though grapes, we said, are the most machmurdic thing that we said before, but you're allowed to squeeze them into a pot, Avaloy L'Seichet Kara, but not into a plate. Now, what's the difference? Rashi says the difference is when a pot, you're putting it in there, you're demonstrating by putting it into the pot that you're using it for the sake of food, for the sake of flavoring the food. So therefore, it's considered you're getting oichel out of oichel, and therefore it's not a problem. As opposed to into a plate, Rashi says sometimes you might be doing it for the sake of mashke. So other Rishonim understand the distinction between a pot and a plate somewhat differently. It's really a question of is there food in there or not. If there's food in there, then you're doing it into the food, as opposed to if it's empty, then. Even a flat plate has rims around the sides, and you could still have the juice in it, yeah. So Rav Chista says, based on what our Rebbe Shmuel is saying, we can learn from that. A person would be allowed to milk a goat, milking it directly into a pot. Same idea, where you were just putting the milk into the pot to flavor the food. But not into a bowl. Same idea. Now, when is this talking about? Tosfos learns that this is only on Yom Tov, because on Shabbos you have a different issue. On Shabbos you can't shech the animal, so you're getting milk out of something which itself is also to eat on Shabbos, as opposed to squeezing fruit, where the fruit itself is mutter to eat on Shabbos. So therefore, Tosfos learns that this would only be on Yom Tov. Other Rishonim learn that, no, it could even be on Shabbos, because the fact that you can't shech the animal is sort of a side issue. No, you're allowed to milk the animal when it's having tzar, but that's a different question. There you have the question whether you can use the milk or not. But here we're saying, according to those Rishonim, that even on Shabbos, even though it's true you can't shech the animal, nevertheless, that's considered a side thing. Fundamentally, it's still considered that you're getting oichel out of oichel, because you're putting it directly into food or directly into a pot full of food or whatever. Alma kasava mashka bala oichel oichel, which shows, therefore, that Shmuel holds that liquid that's coming for the sake of food, like in this case, where you're putting it into the food in order to flavor it, is considered food. The problem with that is Masiv Rami Bachama. Rami Bachama says, I have a contradiction to that. A Mishnah says, Zav shecholav asa'ez, if a Zav milked a goat, hacholav tame, then the milk is tame because the Zav moved it. So he did acid. He's squeezing, and then, yeah. Now, the problem with that is, v'amrit mashka bala oichlin oichelhu, the problem is that if you're saying that mashkim that are for the sake of food are considered oichel, it needs to be mukshal kabal tuma. How did this milk itself be mukshal? And now the question isn't about the milk itself. We're not distinguishing where he's milking it into. We're not saying if he milks it into a cup versus if he milks it into a plate full of food or whatever. Now, why not? If he's putting it into food, based on what we're saying, it should be considered oichel. How does it become mukshal kabal tuma? The answer is, so the Maya Skasha, how does that milk become mukshal, the Kabbal Tumah, that it should become tummy? The answer is, as we find something that Rabbi Yochanan says in a different context, where you have the first drop that comes out and wets the tip of the nipple. So you want that because then it makes it easier to get the rest of the milk out. So therefore, that itself is l'ratzon. Not, well, maybe it cleans it, but Rashi says the expression is the noichol echolav. It makes it easier to milk the animal afterwards when the teat over there is wet with the first drop of milk. So therefore, hochanami, the tip on mochlachas, up yadad. So the same thing over here. Now that is considered mashke, because that's not going into the food. So therefore, that's not going into the food. That's enough. One drop of mashke is enough to be mashur. Is not enough to be mashur all the rest of the milk that comes out, even though the rest of the milk is going into the food, but that's enough to be mashur at the kabal tumah. Fine, but it doesn't matter. One drop is enough to be mashur, because all the milk is then coming out of the same place. So all the milk, as it passes by that place, is going to become mukshal kabal tuma through that one drop. Okay. Must have Ravina, but Ravina says I have a contradiction to that, because another Mishnah says, tome mes shesochat zeisim ma'novim, if a tome mes squeezes grapes or olives, kabetza mechovenes tahar, if there's exactly a kabetza of grapes or olives, then they remain tahar, because then as soon as the first drop comes out, then you have less than a kabetza, and less than a kabetza is not makabel tumah. As long as he doesn't touch the juice itself. As long as he doesn't touch the juice itself, you have, once he squeezed out the first drop, now you have less than a kabetza of food over there. Less than a kabetza is not makabel tumah. No. Here we're talking about a different case. Here we're talking about a person is squeezing grapes or olives. He's a tamei mes. If he touches them, he's going to be, once they're mukshal kabel tumah, he will make them tamei. But as long as there's exactly a kabetza of food over there, then he's allowed to squeeze them because he's only touching the food, he's not touching the liquid, and since at the moment the first drop of liquid comes out, you have less than a kabetza of food. So therefore, even if it's actually, Rashi learns that the food is makabel tumah, but nevertheless, it can't be matame the liquid because he's not touching the liquid. So therefore, we're okay. So it seems to imply that if you have more than a kabetza, it would be makabel tumah. Now, v'yamat mashka bala oichel oichelhu, if you're going to say that liquid that comes for the sake of food is still considered oichel, v'may is kasher, then you still have the question over here. He's squeezing these grapes or these olives over here. But again, we're not distinguishing why he's squeezing it. He could even be squeezing it, let's say, into a pot of food, and we're still saying it's mashal the kabal tumah. So why? If it's coming for oichel, it should be considered oichel, and it's not mashal the kabal tumah. The answer is So Ravina asked the question, and Ravina also answered, you're right, that Mishnah wouldn't necessarily have to be talking about where he's squeezing it into an empty plate or an empty bowl or something. You're right, if he was squeezing it into a pot of food, then based on what Shmuel is saying, it actually would not be Mashal the Kabal Tumah. So even if you had more than a kabetz over there, then he'd be okay. Only a Zov is Matame things by Hesed, by moving them without touching them. Over here, we're talking about Tame Nes. Therefore, the only problem is if he touches them after the Mukshala Kabal Truma. But here, they're not Mukshala Kabal Truma because we're saying the liquid. So again, either you have exactly a Kabetza, and then once the first drop comes out, you have less than a Kabetza of food, so it's not able to be Makabal Truma. Or you have, even if you have a kibbutzah or more, as long as you're squeezing it into a pot, as long as you're squeezing the juice into a pot, then the juice is not going to be makshir l'kabel tuma. Okay. So we'll continue this discussion tomorrow morning, Be'ez Hashem. We'll finish off with this discussion of what you're allowed and what you're not allowed to squeeze on Shabbos, and then we'll go on to other topics, including some interesting agadah as well. Okay. Shabbat.